good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Circle Podcast, episode number 4. Thank you for joining us. My name is Scott Ledden, and I am your host. As a reminder, the purpose of this podcast is to bring together subject matter experts who touch our industry to discuss and debate common industry challenges. Today, we are moving away from COVID-19 issues to a new topic. We are going to discuss carbon neutral certification, what that means, its relevance in our community, and how you can participate in the process. I am very happy to be joined today by Dan Fraley and Liam Conway. Dan is the Chief Operating Officer, and Liam is the Manager, Advisory Services for Carbon Zero. Welcome to the show, guys. Just as a further introduction for our listeners, Carbon Zero is a Canadian company started in 2006 that has risen to become a leader in the design and implementation of carbon reduction strategies and solutions. They have been recognized as Canada's most trusted carbon offset provider by the David Suzuki Foundation and the Pembina Institute. These guys are experts in helping organizations, governments, individuals, and NGOs measure, manage, and mitigate their climate impact. With that behind us, are you guys ready to get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Perfect. Dan, I'll start with you. And I think we should start at the beginning. What exactly does certified carbon neutral mean?
Good question. Well, carbon neutral or carbon neutrality is essentially the term used to describe the efforts of organizations, businesses, and individuals taking action to remove as much carbon dioxide from the atmosphere as they put into it. The overall goal of carbon neutrality is to work to achieve a net zero carbon footprint. For unavoidable emissions or emissions that cannot be readily reduced or avoided, that is where carbon offsets play a role.
I see. So we hear a lot about, you know, the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. There's measurements out there. It's certainly always talked about in terms of the global warming. So this is obviously extremely important. But you mentioned something there that most people probably won't understand. And what exactly are carbon offsets?
Well, carbon offsets are essentially a financial mechanism for change. They do so by helping to fund greenhouse gas reduction projects that would not have otherwise existed. Carbon offsets are real and verifiable, audible reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. They are generated by one entity through undertaking an emissions reduction, avoidance, or sequestration project, such as building retrofits, reducing the use of fossil fuels, or even tree planting. The audited reductions are then traded or sold to another entity with an emissions producing activity that they want to mitigate, like the operation of a transport fleet or the construction of a building. In simplest terms, carbon offsets finance the creation of greenhouse gas reduction projects that would not have otherwise existed through a form somewhat similar to crowdfunding. In voluntary markets, the buyer is you and your favorite business is trying to make a change. In a compliance or cap and trade market, the buyers are the large final emitters, like manufacturers or energy producers.
Wow. So there is an actual active market for buying, selling these, sounds like. Is that similar to the stock market, or is that a ridiculous question?
Well, I think in terms of how stocks are traded and sold, carbon is certainly traded to a similar degree. But there are two markets. Specifically in Canada, we have our voluntary market. So that's organizations and companies that are purchasing offsets as part of corporate social responsibility or being a good community citizen. The other side is the compliance market. A lot of people may know that as carbon tax or cap and trade. This is where large final emitters, like I mentioned earlier, like energy producers and manufacturers who emit a certain amount of carbon every year, are required by the government to reduce emissions or trade in carbon.
So there's a lot of different options out there, and you mentioned different programs and how they exist. How would somebody who's interested in, you know, exploring a project or an option to offset their carbon emissions, how would they make a selection or how do they pick a program?
Well, in terms of the carbon offsetting projects, we try to provide our clients with projects that are not only as close to their emissions producing year as possible, but as close to their emissions producing activity. So we provide carbon offsetting projects from coast to coast, all the way from Newfoundland to British Columbia, that we can provide to our clients as close to where they operate.
Okay, well, that tells us exactly what carbon neutrality is. And Liam, I have a question for you. How does an organization become carbon neutral? So, you know, I suspect like anything, there's probably 1,000 permutations and combinations, and it's different for every industry. But in general terms, what is involved in the process?
Yeah, so we tend to follow the mantra of measure, manage, and mitigate. So when it comes to what we refer to as a corporate greenhouse gas inventory, the first thing that we have to do is measure it. So regardless of what industry you're in, a typical starting place for a corporate inventory is to measure your scope 1 and scope 2 greenhouse gas emissions. And really that's just a fancy category or name for direct fuel emissions, as well as energy indirect emissions, which is typically electricity or purchased steam. So in a lot of ways, corporate greenhouse gas inventories start out with your facility. The boundaries of the organization are kind of capped at that facility, but organizations and businesses can expand that scope and bring in what's called scope 3, which are other indirect emissions. And that's where you get into things like business travel or employee commuting, even something like paper use within a business can be tracked. So what we do is we convert that activity level data using things called emission factors to be able to produce a carbon equivalent for those activities.
So then to sort of summarize what I think you heard saying is a company would contact you or somehow get in touch with you and say, we're interested in having Carbon Zero certify our operations as carbon neutral. And then you would go understand their operation and effectively do an audit, I guess, of their various activities. You mentioned scope 1 and scope 2, which I don't remember exactly how they're distinguished, but there's obviously different categories. You quantify those and you say, based on this activity that you're doing on a consistent basis, your firm's operations are emitting this much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere every year, and therefore you should offset that by, going back to our first point, purchasing carbon offsets. Is that sort of how the process would work?
More or less. There are certainly some intermediary steps in there as well. So to your point, that is an apt description. People, in a sense, do typically come to us saying, you know, we don't know what our carbon footprint is. We want to start this journey of getting to either carbon neutral or reducing emissions. But oftentimes what we see is prior to an offset purchase being made is those groups also want to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions more organically. So what I mean by that is, you know, implement travel threshold policy, for example, where if an organization is measuring their scope 3 emissions, they may stipulate a policy that says any trip under 250 kilometers has to be undertaken via the train instead of the plane. So usually prior to getting to offsets, there are some of those corporate initiatives that are already in place that we can then quantify the reductions from. And then whatever's left, those unavoidable emissions are usually where offsets are introduced.
Okay, so I see. So what the first thing is you quantify. The second thing is that how can we reduce these by more environmentally conscious policies, like take the train instead of fly. And then those that can't be avoided, you suggest purchasing offsets.
That's generally the process that we follow, yep.
Okay. So, you know, this is, and again, it's not new. I know you guys have been at this since 2006, so it's not new, but it still seems to be new in the market. And every time, you know, something new comes to market, you can talk to people, they express interest, but then they have the questions, well, how long is it going to take and how complicated is it? Because all of my employees are really busy and how onerous is this going to be on my employees for you guys to do your audits?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, a lot of the times we get approached by individuals that may not have the time to do it themselves within their organization. So they see, you know, our services as more of a time saver for them. But usually it's a good educational opportunity for them because going back to, you know, the old mantra, you can't manage what you don't measure. Going through this process of, you know, collecting all that utility information and building, you know, flight manifests to track air travel emissions, it's really a good exercise for that organization to complete. to get a better handle of their emissions and what projects and measures are going to be effective for their carbon strategy. But in terms of the overall time input, we often think that we're helping them out in certain ways and letting them sort of focus on their own corporate initiatives without necessarily being the data manager that we can typically, we sort of become that role for them.
Okay, so you guys lead the process. You have to ask for company information, but you know what you're asking for. I mean, if a lot of companies go, I didn't know that the train was that much more environmentally conscious of choice than a plane, for example. So you're there to ask for the information and help them and then educate them as to sort of what their current operations are doing and the impact that they're having.
Yeah, and through the results that we get out of our assessment, it sort of informs what the appropriate measures are. So, for example, Ontario or BC or Manitoba clients of ours, because the electricity grid is relatively carbon free in those three provinces, most of the sustainability recommendations that we issue for groups in those provinces may not focus on electricity because the bang for buck in terms of carbon reduction is going to be a little bit lower than if you were to focus on natural gas emissions or other stationary combustion, as well as things like air travel or product distribution. So through those results, we can kind of build a plan and let them know what the most effective strategy for them might include.
Well, fair enough. So you guys really come in and act as very effective consultants to lead the process, and you help everybody out and get it from beginning to end, I guess, is the service that you offer.
Yeah, like a good example for, one of our clients has been measuring the environmental footprint of their annual financial publications every year. So the physical paper copies, the distribution of these reports to their international stakeholders. And over the last 10 years, we've seen them reduce their footprint by pretty much 50%, basically along the way, suggesting, more of a digital release of the report, incorporating more recycled content and lighter stock into the paper materials. So all sorts of things that we see that can reduce the emissions. We try to provide those as recommendations to those clients.
Fabulous. And then, one of the common misconceptions that I've heard, from people in the market, you start talking about this, that, people have the idea that carbon offsets basically allow a polluting company to continue polluting, not change their ways, and just buy offsets to, quote unquote, make themselves feel better. How can you address that misunderstanding and sort of educate people as to what really is going on with this initiative?
There are definitely critics out there who unfairly characterize carbon offsets as something that means they don't have to take tougher measures to curb climate change. As carbon offsets are a financial mechanism for change, they should only be utilized towards the mitigation of what we call unavoidable emissions. From heating and cooling offices to commuting and business travel, there are numerous emissions producing activities associated with the operation of a business. For our carbon zero certification, carbon offsets are an acceptable tool once companies have done everything they can to pollute less, like tightening up processes, cutting down on office heating, or making delivery or service trucks run on cleaner fuels. Carbon offsets are much better than doing nothing, as they finance greenhouse gas reduction projects that would not have otherwise existed. At Carbon Zero, we look for clients to reduce their emissions year after year towards a goal of constant improvement.
Well, that's a great answer because, for a lot of these companies, buying these offsets is cheap. And people, again, they think, well, geez, it's no problem for these people to buy the offsets. But if your strategy is to educate them and, to Liam's point earlier, you can't manage what you can't measure. Once it's measured, you can start to manage. You folks are driving that message home that the offset is only for unavoidable emissions and you should be using strategies to reduce what you can. I think that's a great way to summarize, to counter the argument, so to speak, that it's just for people to keep polluting but feel good about themselves. So, great point. My next question, is, as you guys know, Greenford is in the construction industry, and our stakeholders are all familiar with LEED and LEED principles, but not as many are as familiar with carbon neutrality. And Liam, are there any initiatives going on with the, CAGBC, for example, that are helping raise awareness and bringing carbon neutrality to the forefront in our industry?
Yeah, there are. Just in, I think it was February or March of this year in 2020, the CAGBC came out with a second version of the Zero Carbon Building Standard. And this was a project that really looks to recognize those high-performing buildings that are generating on-site renewables or using offsets at the tail end of a high-efficiency building to really have net zero carbon emissions in terms of both the operations as well as the embedded carbon of the building materials. So This is something that's relatively new. I believe just recently the first building had actually achieved the standard. But this is definitely an area that we think is going to grow quite a bit, particularly in new builds. The standard itself is certainly easier to achieve. It's still a fantastic and aggressive standard, but it's definitely more applicable to new builds as opposed to renovations. But that's definitely something that we've seen grow, and it sets a nice philosophy for how, you know, the building industry and other industries as well can really approach carbon. It's absolutely aggressive measures and innovative measures to get as much carbon out of the building process as possible. And then at the tail end, that's where carbon offsets and renewable energy credits can come in.
So do you see as much effort going into promotion from people like organizations like the CAGBC for carbon as they put on LEED? I mean, you know, probably a decade ago, LEED came out, or maybe it was more. We did the first LEED Platinum project here in Toronto, and, you know, there was a real push on at the time for LEED. I would say that has certification. I see it kind of declining. People don't necessarily want to get certified, but they've adopted LEED principles into projects now that, even if they don't go for certification, if you know what I mean. So, you know, which is great because they're not necessarily concerned with getting certified. They're concerned with doing the right thing and adopting the proper principles in their building practices. Do you think that carbon is going to fall into that, carbon offsetting is going to fall in that same category? Is it going to become, you know, promoted by people like the CAGBC to raise awareness and have more people buy into the program?
I think it's certainly an option, but I don't think we or anyone in the market would probably say that offsets are, you know, the be all end all for the solution. I think it's just one of many options available to buildings, to companies, to individuals to reduce emissions. But to your point, I do think that in terms of LEED, it's one of those things that can, over time, sort of become more business as usual. I think in terms of LEED, that's certainly happened. That's, you know, at least in my opinion, probably driven because of the number of LEED, you know, APs and GAs that are now in the building sector and are truly familiar with, you know, the criteria to achieve those LEED certifications. And as more and more folks within the space enter into that job market, I think you start to see more and more of those principles come through, whether or not LEED certifications are achieved. And in terms of whether carbon offsets are done in the same way, I still think offsets will be treated as a tool that kind of closes the loop in terms of unavoidable or leftover emissions in these types of buildings. But it's certainly possible. I mean, carbon measurement, I think, is probably the area where things will continue to grow. You've seen, you know, like energy and water reporting benchmarks are starting to come out for multi-unit residential, as well as you know, mandatory public sector reporting is still a thing. So the measurement piece, I think, is probably the area of growth that we'd expect to see.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, that takes care of sort of where this seems to be going. And I guess from my point of view, what I'm seeing is, as you guys know, Greenford was carbon neutral certified in 2013 with you folks. So thank you for working with us on that. And we're very proud of that fact. And you know, it's still a unique position in our marketplace. But as we sort of evolve this market, what we're now doing is offering our projects and our customers to have their project actually certified carbon neutral as well. And when we talk to our customers, there has been interest in this process, but I think I think the stumbling block is that they don't really understand how that process would work. So Dan and Liam, if you could take maybe a few minutes and describe how you would proceed to certify carbon neutrality for a commercial interiors project.
Yeah, I can jump in here, Dan, and feel free to catch anything that I've missed. But in terms of our program at Greenford, what we've done is for any length of renovation project, we're looking at the utility usage of the renovated space for the duration of the renovation. So that would include electricity, that would include natural gas, and we're capturing the greenhouse gas emissions associated with the building's operation for that period of time on that square footage of the renovation. What we're also doing is we're measuring the carbon footprint of employee and contractor travel that are coming, you know, to and from the site, from their homes, from other job sites, for the duration of that renovation. So those are two of the larger emissions generating activities associated with a renovation project like a commercial interior. So what we're doing is we're measuring the footprint associated with that job and allowing clients of yours to invest in and purchase carbon offsets to compensate for the emissions from that project.
That summarizes it beautifully, because I have tried in the past, and like I said, people are interested, and they just don't really know how to make it happen. So I really appreciate that summary. And to bring our discussion green circle, as we like to say on the podcast, I just want to summarize what we've talked about. And I guess for me, the message really is you can't manage what you don't measure. So Carbon Zero can come in and help a company measure their emissions activities. And the key thing that I think I take away from this is you only really want to buy offsets for unavoidable emissions. The goal is to understand where your emissions are coming from, how you can implement new processes and practices to reduce those emissions, and only those that you can't reduce or eliminate do you then buy carbon offsets to effectively offset those carbon emissions. Does that catch it effectively, Jen?
Yeah, I certainly think so. And when you look at it kind of holistically as part of a corporate social responsibility program, I mean, I think that's what truly makes sense, right? You want to see the fruits of your labor. You want to see emissions reductions achieved. And then whatever's left over is certainly a suitable opportunity to use offset.
And I'd add, we often describe carbon neutrality as a journey. Most organizations will have a challenge going carbon neutral overnight, and Carbon Zero is here to support you through it every step of the way.
Fabulous, guys. Well, I really want to thank you for joining us today. I think it was a very informed discussion, and I think our listeners will really find it valuable, and sincerely appreciate your insight and expertise. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.